Glory be the name of God, and certainly we thank him, give him praise and honor for the things that he has done for us and how he has done exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. He has blessed us so that we cannot enumerate the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And as the song says, ooh-wee, what a blessing. Amen. Thank God for Deacon McLean devoting our hearts, posturing, and preparing us for the receptivity of God's holy word. For his word is likened unto a seed that is sown on soils, that we need the seed of God's word to be fruitful, that the Lord is expecting fruit out of our lives and through our living. And so we thank God for every opportunity that he gives unto us to receive his word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. That without the word of God, there would be no faith, and without the word of God, it would be impossible to please God. So we thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. Thank God for all of you that are here in this Tuesday evening Bible study. And certainly my heart is elated and excited about your presence and your desire to receive the word. We're on the fourth chapter in our book, our study book, I Am a Church Member by Tom S. Rainer. And chapter 4, we're dealing with page 43. And very important, I think a very important chapter, as the other chapters are, but it deals with praying for your leadership. Praying for your leadership, that you as a church member have an obligation and a responsibility of praying for your leadership. Amen. Not criticizing your leadership, not putting down your leadership, but praying for. It is a tedious task leading God's people. Amen. It's a tedious task. It's an awesome responsibility. Yes. It's weighty. Amen. Leading God's people. Amen. So praying for your leadership. And the title is, I Will Pray for My Church Leaders. I Will Pray for My Church Leaders. So we're on page 43. That's where we'll begin, page 43. And it starts out by talking about the pastor's tedious task, you know, and all that he can encounter in a day. You know, that you really never have a day off. You're always on call.
Yes.
And the days you say you have off will be your busier days.
Yes,
sir. Wow. So we read about Pastor Mike and how he thought he had a clear schedule. And as the day went on, he encountered something or some things that really took the day away from him. He had plans on studying.
Yes, sir.
And preparing for Sunday morning's message.
Yes, sir.
It's Thursday. It's Thursday morning, Thursday. Now, I don't normally wait until Thursday. I start studying for next Sunday when I get home.
Yes,
because you never know what you will encounter during a week.
Amen.
But for Mike, Pastor Mike, it's Thursday. And he get a call of a car accident. Get a call. And five people are in the car. His one of his close friends die in a car accident. And so he met the family at the hospital, and he had to endure the sobbing and the sadness. And that took 3-4 hours from him. He left there and went by his house to grab something to eat, went by the church, and one of his ministry leaders wanted to quit, wanted to give up his ministry responsibility. So he had to talk him into staying. And then after that, he met with a young man and discovered that the young man's wife was having an affair on him. So he had to coach him through that. Left there and went home by that time and grabbed something else to eat. And he had to be at a place for a meeting about 7. Said he would only stay a little while, and he ran into some more members. And they kept him until about 9. So by then, his whole day is away from him. And he wanted to get home and unwind and put it all together for Sunday. But fatigue kicked in. So the task of a church leader is not easy. Now, this is what I want you to understand. I want you to understand how vital it is for a congregation to pray for their pastor's care and leader's care. Now, you have to be a hard person if you're not concerned about your pastor's care and leader's care. Now, because when you look in the mirror, you know you something to deal with. And so after your pastor get through dealing with you, he needs some care. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
And so you have to understand how vital, how necessary, and how important it is for your pastor to be healthy and your church leaders to be healthy. Amen. We're putting them together now. That your pastor be healthy and your church leaders be healthy. All right? You also have to know how important it is to a congregation's health.
Yes,
all right.
For the pastor to be healthy.
Amen.
Your spiritual well-being is linked to your pastor's health.
Yes.
And your church leader's health.
Yes.
Now, not only are we talking in terms of the health of the pastor, you know, his body, his spirit, his mind, his mental state, but you need healthy relationship in leadership.
Yes, right.
You don't need pastors arguing with deacons and deacons arguing with pastors. Pastors arguing with trustees and trustees arguing with pastors. You don't need auxiliary leaders resisting and rebelling against the vision of the church. You don't need schisms. You don't need division. You don't need tension. Amen. Because all of that endangers the health of the church. You know, and as much as we try to hide it, you know, you can kind of tell when something is off. When relationships are not what they ought to be. So you need health in relationships. So you need to pray. You need to pray that the pastor be healthy in all facets, holistically, in all facets of his life. You need to pray that his family is healthy. You need to pray that the leadership is healthy. You need to pray that the relationships that we have within the church are healthy relationships.
Amen.
You need to pray that your pastor have a healthy relationship with people without the church.
Amen.
With the community.
Yes, sir.
You know, don't be so quick to side with people who's critical.
Amen.
You know, we kind of love that as a people.
Right.
You know, if somebody have a problem, we kind of love to hear something bad. Not knowing how much of a detriment that is.
Yes,
to the overall spiritual health of the church. Because listen, you can't shoot at me and not hit the church. Y'all quiet. See, Paul even said in 2 Corinthians, around the second chapter, when he started talking about forgiving the man that, you know, had mistreated him, he says, he has only grieved me in part. But he has grieved the church in full.
Amen.
So don't be so quick to jump on the side of someone who's critical of the pastor and who's critical of leadership, who's critical of the church.
Amen.
Because it deals with the health.
Yes,
the health. Listen, I want to be a part. I want to be a part, a member of a healthy church.
Yes.
You know, because a healthy church can help me do something about what I'm dealing with. Can help me overcome some challenges. Help me face oppositions. A healthy church has good counsel. Can help me in some decision making. I need to be a part of a healthy church. I need to be a part of, you know, where stress is not so prevalent. Wherein my pastor is 47, but he looked 60. We want him looking 47. I thought that would wake you up. But this thing of pastoring and leading God's people is very vigorous. It's hard. Because you're really leading people, you know, who have the mentality of quit when they want to. Because they only see it as a volunteer thing. You know, and if you're kind of dealing with volunteers, volunteers are quick to quit. So it's hard. It's not like you're going off to your job and, you know, they can threaten to fire you. And you kind of get in line because, you know, your livelihood is dependent upon your check. If I threaten to fire you, you say, well, I wanted to quit anyway. They ain't paying me nothing. I don't know who he think he talking to. I had my letter already written up anyway. And see, you don't see the depth of your spirituality and your spiritual health and how important it is for you to maintain your pulse for someone else's spiritual health and well-being. Because when you have a quit spirit is contagious. It's like a virus. It's like a wildfire. It eventually spread all over the church. So listen, we need you healthy. So you need a healthy pastor. You need healthy leaders. So since you need a healthy pastor and healthy leaders, there are several things suggested to us that we need to do for our leaders, our pastor and our leaders. Number one, you need to pray for the pastor and other church leaders. You need to pray. All church leaders need prayer. You know, I don't want you to think that I'm like, you know, some, you know, super hero. That I've lost my humanity. That I'm from some distant place, some out of space place, and I don't need prayer. I welcome membership prayer. You know, I can recall a few years ago when I had to have a sinus surgery, and I said to the church, I need you to pray for me. And when I came out of the pulpit, some members, I guess, misunderstood my ask or my desire for prayer. And they said, well, it's going to be all right. You're supposed to be a man of faith. I said, what does faith have to do with asking for prayer? That doesn't mean that I'm wimpy in faith. But I understand how vitally important faith and prayer is for leadership. That's not saying that I'm about to cave in, I'm about to quit, I'm about to give up. That's not saying that. What it is saying is I desire membership prayer. And that's biblical, to have members to pray for their leader. Amen. Amen. So we all need prayer. Now notice, I need you to pray for my sermons. Now I want you to work that in your spirit. If you're expecting a word from the Lord on Sundays or whenever we have service, you need to pray that God speaks to your pastor. Because if God doesn't speak, I can't speak. The only reason I can preach is because God has spoken. And you want me to have sensitive ears and a softened heart to receive the word of God. Because again, your spiritual health, your faith is dependent on the word of God. So you need to pray for my sermons. Now let me give you to you in the word of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Now I want you to see how important it is. Because listen, you don't need a pastor who's cowardly and afraid to preach what thus said the Lord. You need one that's going to stand flat-footed and look you face to face and tell you what the Lord says. Now, that's important now. You don't need somebody tiptoeing around the word, tickling your ears and telling you what you want to hear. Because, listen, you're not going to improve like that. You're not going to improve like that. You need the word of God. You need it just as it is. Amen. So now listen to Paul in verse 18. Praying at all times in the spirit, not in your flesh. In the spirit, with all prayer and supplication, being specific now. So now it's not just a general prayer, it's a specific prayer. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So you need to pray for your pastor's sermons. Lord, give him courage. Give him boldness to tell us like it is. Regardless of how many people get angry and mad, upset. Regardless of how many people say, well, I'm not going back to the church anymore because, you know, the pastor's talking about me. If you fall within the scripture, if you fall within the confines of the text, I didn't call your name out, God did. And I hadn't been around your house, the Holy Spirit will speak. And I don't even know as you. See, I may be looking in your direction, but I don't know as you. And you know, because you know it's you, you think I'm looking right at you. Pastor, you were looking right at me and I didn't even see you. And I just act like I saw you when you tell me, you know, I was looking at you. You know, I had one member say, well, Reverend, you know, when you come out, you shooting at us. I said, I'm trying to hit you. Because that's the only way you're going to get better. So you need the word of God to be presented boldly. So you need to pray for our sermons. Listen to this. We should pray that God will give the pastor wisdom, insight, and words to preach. It is an incredible task to speak and preach the word of God every week again and again. Now, you know, sermon prep is very, very intense. You know, you're talking about research. It's like writing a term paper every week. You know, it's just that intense. You know, don't let anybody, you know, tell you that, you know, there's nothing to it. That you don't have to study. If you just get up there and open your mouth, the words will come out. If you don't put nothing in there, nothing coming out. And then Jesus even said this, that the Holy Spirit will only bring to your remembrance what he has spoken, what he has commanded. So if you're not ingesting, if you're not intaking what he has commanded, what he has spoken, the Holy Spirit don't have anything to bring back to your remembrance. Remember. So there has to be memory for there to be remembrance. See? So you have to sit down over the word of God and write and read and read and study. Read and study. And let the text speak. That you don't try to dictate to the text what the text is saying, but the text dictates to you what it's saying. And it's easy to take the biblical text out of context. So you want to pray that God will give your pastor wisdom, insight, words to preach. Now, listen to this, and we're going to go a little farther than that. You have Sunday school teachers. You have Bible study teachers. You have leaders that needs that same prayer for wisdom, insight, words. Because, listen, you want the Sunday school teacher to be just as accurate as the pastor when it comes to handling the word of God. You don't need anyone to mishandle the word of God. So you need to pray for your Sunday school teachers. You need to pray for the deacons and trustees during devotion period. Because, you know, you don't want them to just, you know, get up and just do something. You want them to be aligned with what God is doing. So they need wisdom, insight, and words. Amen. You need the person that sit on the pew with you.
Yes, sir. That's right.
To have wisdom.
Yes, sir.
See, we have to pray.
Yes.
So we need you to pray for the pastor and other church leaders. Amen. You know, we have leaders and people that's handling our children. You want them to be on point. You don't want the children to leave confused. You know, you want them to have a wholesome intake of the word of God. You know, when they talking about Daniel in the lion's den, you want to make sure that the story don't end up with Daniel being ate up.
Amen. 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 Amen.
That Daniel made it out of the lion's den.
Amen.
Amen. You don't need them to put their imagination with it that Daniel almost got bit. if Daniel wouldn't have dodged the lion, he would have got ate up. No, you don't need him making up nothing. Come out of children's church and talk about the three Hebrew boys and they go on to say, well, mama, you know, I didn't know, you know, the three Hebrew boys got burnt up. I didn't either, baby. They done told a different story, see? So you need everybody what? Aligned. And you don't need any mishandling of the word of God. You know, I'm trying to help us now. You know, because you'll be surprised what come out of some conversations. And I be saying it in a joking, you know, in a jokingly way, but, you know, a lot of stuff come out of these conversations, you know, what if conversations, and I think this happened, and I think that happened, and then you inferring upon the word of God what you shouldn't be doing.
Amen.
And adding to it.
Amen.
And people leave confused. Let me tell you something else that don't need to happen. You need to stop relegating your teaching time to opinion polling. When you're in Sunday school, one thing, don't ask what you think. Don't ask that. Because listen, whatever's going to come out of that question, everybody in the class is hearing it. Y'all miss me. You know, if you say, well, what do you think about Jesus on the cross? And then they start, you know, everybody kind of weigh in. Now, the students are not going to only remember what was rightly said. They're going to also remember what was wrongly said. And because you relegated the class to an opinion meeting, everybody weighing in with their opinion, you done got some folks off. So you need to pray that God will give wisdom, insight, and words to your pastor, to church leaders, to church teachers, to Bible study teachers, to small group leaders, to your deacons and your trustees, that everybody will be operating in wisdom, insight, and words. Here's the second thing. You need to pray for the pastor's family. You need to pray for your church leaders' families. You need to pray for families. Now, let me share some with you. A pastor's family has issues just like yours.
Amen.
You know, since you're talking about my children bad.
Amen.
They wasn't called to preach. I was called to preach.
Amen.
Y'all quiet.
Amen.
Your children bad too.
Amen.
Just like you bring yours, tell my pastor lay hands on them and pray for them. I need to be bringing mine to you, telling you to lay hands on mine and praying for mine. That we have to pray one for another. And then listen, the pastor has, you know, has challenges within himself. Mental and physical challenges. And then it's a challenge for the family that sometimes, you know, I can be, you know, sitting down, enjoying the family and get a phone call. It doesn't matter if it's Christmas. You know, and it has happened. You know, on Christmas Day, and you get a call that someone has passed away, and then, you know, I had to leave the family, you know, leave them opening gifts to go and deal with, you know, the sadness and sorrow of another family. And the family, my family, understands that that's my responsibility, that's my duty, that's what I do as a pastor. But need prayer. You know, I can recall some years ago, you know, not since I've been here now. Not since I've been here. But, you know. Some years ago, my wife said, you going to take a vacation? I said, yeah, I'm going to take one. Eventually I'll take one. And so she just threw the calendar at me and said, just mark your day on that then. Because I'm ready to go on one. that the family suffers. And if a leader is serious about the ministry that he has been called into, he understands the cost of the call. Now, let me give it to you. Let's, matter of fact, y'all go with me. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. I want you to see the cost. Now, Luke chapter 9. All right, let's look at start with verse 57. You know, often at appreciation, you know, y'all will get up and say, we thank you, Lady Rogers, for sharing your husband.
Amen.
And then y'all trying to give her a little gift and then kind of, you know, make up for all of the times. And I'd be appreciating y'all too. And, you know, on that day, she'd be so happy. She'd be so happy until, you know, we get ready to go somewhere and then I get another call. But she'd be so happy. But look at the cost. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. Now, notice the first one said, I'll follow you. He voluntarily said, I'll follow you. And then Jesus explained to him that it's not a fellowship of comfort.
Amen.
That you are not going to be comfortable in following me because I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have some nest to fly into.
Yes, sir. All
right. And rest and escape all of the troubles of a day.
Yes.
I don't have a foxhole to run into and hide myself from the world.
Right.
It's not a place or it's not a call of comfort. Here's the second. To another, he said, now notice Jesus said to him, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That's a high cost, isn't it? Now, here's the problem with the man's response. He said, be it me first. Let me first. Jesus will never settle for second place in your life. I told you, they understand. There have been some ball games I had to miss. You know, due to revivals and preaching obligation,
yes,
teaching obligations and ministry obligation, that I understand that he's to be first.
Amen.
That you can't put him off.
Amen.
You know, even in a dire situation. Now, some scholars believe that this man's father hadn't died yet. And he was wanting to be with his father until his father's death. And after his father's death, he would join himself to Jesus. So notice what Jesus requires if we would be true disciples.
Amen.
That we have a Jesus first attitude.
Amen.
Amen.
Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my house. Let me go and have one little last getaway party. Let me go and have one go away celebration. And Jesus, if you just let me do this one thing, I'll follow you. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Notice the word looks, a constant looking back. It's what we saw in Lot's wife that caused her to perish in leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. Looking back. Because see, if you keep looking back, you'll desire to go back. See, when you come on this side, you got to have it already settled in your spirit that the world don't owe you nothing. You know, when I had to leave Starkville, you know, and I can remember in the process, I said, "Well, Lord, if you're sending me, you know, I got to give it all up." I said, "I got a mom over there, but you'll take care of her. I got brother over there and a sister. Sisters over there," I said, "you'll take care of them," because my family was so used to me, you know, being there and doing, you know. And I said, "Well, Lord, you have to fix it." I said, "But I'm following you." Now, I'm not trying to stay over there. And when I go over there, I feel like I'm out of place. Because I have a new home and God has settled my heart here. Amen. You got to be willing to give it up. It's a cost. Now let me show you how much the cost. How much of a cost is it? You know when we were in the hospital, and Doyle was she had had Trinity, and we had Bible study. That was a Monday. I called Monty down in Jackson. He said, "I need you to come and stay with Tasha, and I'm gonna go on back over to the church and teach Bible study." And my wife said, "You're going to leave me here?" I said, "I got to go, baby." So, listen, on that day, she started crying. And the nurse came in. I said, "Good, stop crying. These folks going to think I'm doing something to you up in here." I had got so shame. And so, and she said, "Well, I don't want you to go." I said, "Well, just stop crying." I said, "I'm coming right back. I'm coming right back the next day." But I left Jackson and drove 4 hours to Bessemer to teach Bible study. Now, the reason it took me 4 hours is because I had to go back through Starkville and get my clothes, that I couldn't go down through Meridian and all like that. So I had to go through Starkville to get my clothes so I could be here. And y'all asking me, "Where's Lady Ross?" I says, "Well, she's in the hospital." And y'all looking at this man and left that woman. But that's the cause. But now let me tell you this. I can promise you one thing. The covenant that the Lord has made with me, if I take care of his business, he'll take care of mine. Yeah. That you know, I don't know the last time I worried about anything. Because when you give it all in and give it all over to the Lord will fix it. And let me tell you something, you know, because we have a bad way. You know, we be saying things like, "Well, you're going to let the church kill you." Those ball games ain't killing you. You spending more time at the ball game than you spend at church. You know, we do more recreation than we do, you know, for, you know, the building of our spiritual fitness and our spiritual health. And then we want to know why we so unhealthy spiritually. It's because we're giving over more time to recreation, things that pertain to the flesh. And we are neglecting the spirit. Amen. Our spirituality. That's why we're not responding to situations right. That's why, you know, you have to be very careful that you don't catch us off guard because of what will come out of our mouths or you know, how we'll respond. We're not healthy. That's why we don't look as we should. You know, we're not smiling and we're not happy and joyous as we should because we're not spiritually healthy. We don't know how to pray for the fitness of a leader. We just know how to weigh him down. And the moment he don't respond to us, we angry, upset, because we don't understand how important it is for him to be spiritually healthy, because we don't understand how important it is for us individually to be spiritually healthy. You know, I shared some with you a while ago that no is not a cuss word. Some of you are just literally afraid to tell someone no. And you go all out of your way to keep from saying no. No is not a cuss word. You have to know what you can and can't do. You have to know how to properly arrange your life to get the best out of your life. If you're constantly being pulled away from the main thing, you are going to eventually neglect the main thing for secondary things. You know, one thing y'all don't have to ask on Sunday is, does Reverend have a word? Y'all not asking that. I know he got a word today. You know, we're coming out of revival, and some of the members said, well, Reverend, you let them two men come in here and preach. I said, I'm going to come in and preach Sunday. Shoot, I love preaching. I love teaching. I love it. So I need y'all to pray that, you know, pray for me and then pray for my family. You know, I have children, and they don't always understand that their daddy has to be, you know, off doing this and that. You know, I told y'all last week that little Trinity don't understand daddy being tired. You know, I go to sleep. Wake up, sleepyhead. She don't understand. And she just shaking me too, boy. Wake up, sleepy. Wake up. And then her mama said, well, come on in here. I want my daddy. So pray for me and Trinity, and pray for Lady Tasha. Pray for our older children. Listen, pray for your leader's protection. Amen. You want God to protect your leaders. Amen. Amen. Now, this is important. Now, notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, and able teacher. Not addicted to wine, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy, one who manages his own household competently, having his children under control with all dignity. That's a tall order. Now, notice the first thing is he has to be above reproach. Above reproach. In other words, he can't be one you can easily find fault in. Amen.
All right.
That's a tall order. Amen. For a leader. You know, if you just think about, you know, if you were a leader, you know, in your present state, you know, would you be above reproach? And the same appeals that Satan makes to you, he makes to pastors. That he wants us more than he wants you. Because if you strike the head, the body will scatter. The sheep will scatter. Listen, it's something that occurs, that happens when a pastor sins. That it has a different effect than when someone else in the church sinned. You know, a deacon sin, y'all just kind of bring him on down to the altar and the pastor lay hands on him, and, you know, that's about the end of that. A trustee sin, you just bring him on down. I'm not telling y'all to do that now. You know, and that's about the end of that. It's Sunday school teaching, all that kind of thing. But a pastor, it has a way of devastating the body. Listen, when a pastor sin, when you go to the beauty salon and go to the, you know, barbershop, you got to hear all of the rumor mill. And you know, they have a way of asking, what y'all going to do down there with y'all little pastor? You know, when he mess up, he get little. I know y'all ain't going to tolerate that stuff down there that man doing. But it does something to the body. It devastates the body. Listen, the congregation suffers violently. So you want to pray that God protects. Protects Bill Hedge. Lord, keep this stuff away from him. You know, don't let it just get there to him. Lord, keep it away from him. You know, protect them against all of this stuff out here. Protect them from the love of money. Protect them from women. Protect them from wine, whiskey, beer. Protect them from marijuana. You know, protect them from gambling. Protect them from becoming worldly. You know, all of that because, you know, you become, you know, a byproduct of who your pastor is. And you know, when, where I'm from, you know, leaders would say, well, you do as I say, not as I do. But then Paul tells us to be examples or examples to the flock. So you want a pastor who's reputable, who's not scarred. You know, reputation smeared and messed up. You want a pastor, you know, who can stand flat foot and tell you that sin is sin. So you need to pray that God protects. Protects. Lord, keep him in line. You know, don't let him succumb to the devil traps. Protect him. You know, because Satan wants us. You know, when I see a leader caught up in something, I don't put him down. Because listen, you know, my prayer is, Lord, I just pray that you keep me. Because listen, without God's hands on you, no telling what you'll get yourself in. Satan got some traps out here. Listen, let me kind of give you an idea of what I'm saying. Now, if you into women and you struggling and you trying, he ain't gonna send no ugly woman to you. He gonna send one to you that make you turn your head, you know. See, y'all don't like me tonight. No sense in them sending somebody to you that you are not attracted to. And you struggling and you trying to go home and be faithful and all to your spouse and everything. You know, and for y'all women, you know, he ain't going to send you no man out of shape. He going to send you a man with his shirt off, got that six pack. You know, that man will make you talk under your breath. You send nobody to you don't like. Look at your neighbor and say, trap. You know what y'all, you don't send nobody to you that you ain't attracted to. You know? If it's money that gets you, he'll put it there before you to either steal it or mistreat somebody to get it. Trap. Okay, since, you know, it's not a man or a woman and it's not money, but you've been battling with drug addiction. you know, you used to smoke, and you've been off them left hand for about 10 years. And here come your friends that you used to run with, still smoking. And they catch you. They catch you while you're out trying to get a little, you know, peace and all from your wife and all. Because she at the house fussing and you done left home and you just trying to get a little quiet time. And this joker catch you outside of Walmart and said, "Man, I got just the thing for you." And man, I'm telling you, if you go back, if you just come on with me and hit this one time, you won't even be worried about what she said to you. Matter of fact, when you go back in there, man, you're going to be so high, you ain't going to even be able to hear. And then he's going to put that on you. And you talking about 10 years, you ain't hit it in 10 years, man. And you thinking, say, "Lord, how much, I sure don't want to hear." Trap. And see, you hit it that one time. Now you addicted for the rest of your life. Because listen, whenever you open the door back to that devil, he's going to be 7 times as worse than he was before. Trap. So we need to pray for leaders to be protected. I got to quit this thing. Listen, we need to pray for leaders' physical and mental health. You know, as a pastor, can I just be transparent? You know, people can work your soul. Well, you be thinking all kinds of stuff. Let me tell you something. You know, it's a psychological aspect to this thing, too. You know, you can come in on Sunday and preach a good sermon, and people just shout, and they just have a good time with the sermon. And then you just go home and prepare yourself. Come in and try to preach the same way the next Sunday, and y'all just sit there and look at us. And then we got to try to go figure out what happened. That on the first Sunday they shouted. On the second Sunday they just sit there and looked at me. And it started messing with your mind. And then you have about a good month, you know, of people not saying anything. And then it started working with your mind. You say, "Oh Lord, they don't want me anymore." You know, I done lost my way. And all this kind of stuff going through your mind. See, you know, some won't tell you that they go through this kind of process. But I'm just trying to be transparent that it's a mental aspect to this thing, too. And listen, what deals with you mentally will eventually have a physical effect on you. You know, we have to be careful that we don't neglect ourselves. As a pastor, I have to be careful that I don't neglect myself. I try to sleep 8 hours a night. I try to sleep 8 hours. You know, that don't always happen. And then, you know, if it don't happen, y'all listen, I need a nap in the daytime. I need a nap. I'm approaching my 50s. So I be start out watching some, and then next thing I know, it's watching me. And I don't apologize. I need a nap because I got to try to get myself settled down. Because if you're tired and extremely tired, you can't intake properly. Mentally. You know, you ever read something, got to the end, and don't know what you read? And if you would have just rested, kind of got yourself, you know, geared down and rested and kind of reprogram and kind of reboot. You know, because these minds are like computers. You need to kind of reboot. And when you know, and then when it reading it, you would have ascertained. Yeah, you would have a lot more would have stuck with you. So it's a mental aspect to it. Listen. And the same holds true for you. That you have to choose a proper time when it's best for you to sit down and study the Word of God.
That's right.
And your time may not be someone else's time. Some people, you know, in the morning, their minds are cloudy. So the first thing is not to get up and try to get right into the Word, because their minds are cloudy, and it takes a little time for them to, you know, kind of get rid of all the fog and all of that, so then they could sit down. So it may be lunchtime. Or it may be evening. When's your best time? You know, I'm just kind of, you know, a morning, lunch, and then evening and night. But let me tell you what I have to do when I'm studying. I can go so far, but then I have to go and take a brain break. And I know when I need to do that. I have to get up and take a brain break. And then I come back, and then I can, you know, I can hear God more clearer and precise, so I can write. But you have to understand that you need to be mentally healthy. You don't need to be off in your thinking. You know, I was going to one Sunday. I was going to mess with y'all. I was going to come in and just look at the flow the whole time before I preach, you know. Kind of see how it was going to affect y'all, you know. I was just going to be sitting in the pulpit looking down at the floor like that. And choir singing and everything. I was just keep on looking. I was going to see what kind of effect it was going to have on you. Because I wanted you to understand how important it is for the pastor to be healthy, because you kind of feed off of.
Amen.
Y'all said, "Lord, we thank you that pastor didn't do that." You know, but what I'm trying to share with us is how important it is for us to be mentally healthy, but not only that, to be physically healthy. We have to carry the gospel.
Yes, sir.
You know, this year has been a pretty challenging year for me, because, you know, I've had a lot of physical challenges. And I think God is bringing me out of it. And it was a test for me. Because I was so used to doing it, you know, at ease physically in my physical body. But, you know, the Lord tested me to, you know, to set before me, are you willing to serve me even while you are paining? And can I put you before the people in pain? There were some Sundays I you know, to greet people and to conversationally exchange with people, I had to literally sit down because my legs were just that weak. But I had to do it. I can remember when we were two services. There were times I'd be so tired I'd go and take a nap in between the service. But I never wanted y'all to know it, because I didn't want y'all to be saying, "Well, Pastor, you know, you need to do this and do that." I would go back there and take a nap, and then I'd come back refreshed. And he said, "Well, we thought you preached the first time." I said, "You don't just don't know what a nap would do." You know, that it wears on us physically. You know, you heard me say a while ago that seemingly pastors age like dogs. 7 years for 1 year. That it's a physical, it's physically challenging.
Amen.
Mentally challenging. But listen, when you got people that pray for you and you can feel the prayers.
Amen.
Man, that's like Sunday. You know, we had the service, and I stayed here in between the two services, and you know, to have people that you know in your corner, and people that have your best interests at heart, and people who's praying for you and want you to do well, and that support you. You know, to have people around say, well, I'm waiting on you, you know, waiting on me to go over to the other service and stay here just as, you know, like I did. And family in the office until, you know, we got ready to go over. And then we had that service and preached and left that service and, you know, went home. And the next day, yesterday, had to preach Reverend Lee Walker's funeral. So we had Saturday funeral, had two services Sunday, and then service on yesterday, and then Bible study, and then another Bible study in the morning, and I'm loving every bit of it. And then that's coming off of, you know, Friday. Went down to the marriage, with the marriage ministry down there, and I had to throw my hat in there. And then Deacon Wells called me and said, where were you, man? All right. So, you know, it's physically challenging and mentally challenging. So that's our lesson, that we need prayer in those areas. Okay? All right. All right. Any questions? Say it one more time. Say it a little louder. But now, let me say this. Let me address it from this standpoint. The reason a lot of people are not spiritually healthy is because they neglect spiritual disciplines. And you have heard me say, this sanctuary should be full. But we see so much neglect. If you neglect spiritual disciplines, intaking the Word of God, intaking the Word of God, prayer meetings, intaking the Word of God, Sunday school, Bible study, worship service, you're constantly doing that. You're not going to be spiritually fit because, listen, there is no such thing as instant maturity. It's a process. So this person that has neglected all of the spiritual discipline, we can't assume that this man would have made it to the morning. Joker may have had his gun loaded right in front of his family. And because he's not strong, consider pulling that trigger or pulling that pistol to his head and pulling the trigger right before his wife and family. Because when a person is disturbed like that, he's not going to do it alone. He's going to wake up everybody in the house. See, when a joker is tormented, he wants everybody around him to be tormented. And so by getting up may just save that man's life and his family. See, may kill a lot of people. Now, I'm not getting up for a toenail now. I'm not getting up for a toenail. God knows I'm not getting up for a toenail. I'm getting off the phone real quick. Well, Pastor, I'm having, you know, I'm getting off that phone. If it's a toenail, I'm getting off of there. You know, if it's, you know, a little finger spring or wrist spring or ankle, all that, I'm getting off of that quickly. But, you know, I get up and at least address what it is. And, you know, if it's not anything that's dire or that need addressing at that time, you know, I get off and get some sleep. Yeah. All right. Any other questions, any comments? All right, let's go. Let us stand and make our prayer circle. All right, any prayer requests? Yeah, Mark. Yeah. Any prayer requests? All right, sister's husband, Dwayne Thompson. All right.
Pray for my family. We had someone that was hospitalized Sunday.
All right. Mashburn family, someone hospitalized Sunday.
Jeff Underwood in Columbus, Ohio, brain cancer. His brother in Cleveland Clinic, but he's got cancer.
All right. Jeff Underwood and his brother? Ed Underwood.
Yes,
amen. And his brother?
Yeah.
Both dealing with Ed and Jeff.
Ed and Jeff.
All right. Dealing with cancer. Okay. All right. Praying for them. Come on.
Floyd Chapman family and Ingram family.
All right. Floyd Chapman family and Ingram. All right. Family. All right. Cox family, Corrine Williams, and O'Neill Ridgeway. All right. Johnson family. Who is it? Who is it?
Basketball player in
Pensacola. All right, basketball player in Pinson, White family. All right. Anyone? Shepherd's family.
Evans and Edwards family.
Evans and Edwards family. Okay, Reverend and yourself are traveling to Mobile, praying for your family. And your safe travel. All right. Anyone else? All right. Your niece, LaTanya LaShore. Good to have you back in Bible study. Good to have you back, Brother Yarbrough. Bible study. That's right. Reverend Lee Walker's family. Sister Sarah Walker and his sons and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren. Pray for them.
Pastor and his family.
All right, Pastor and his family. Amen. I need them prayers. I need the prayers. Anyone else? All right, Mr. Roger Williams. Knee surgery. All right. All right. Who is that? Yeah, the King. All right. All right. All right. Boy, he big on that now. He said, I'm King and she Queen, Reverend. All right, all right, all right. Anyone else? Your mom? All right, is she? All right, all right. We're praying for her. All right. Her travel. The Horn family? Say again. Oh, my, okay, all right. How's he doing? All right, we pray for his strength and recovery. All right, praying for Deacon Green. All right, anyone else? All right, Brother Long's sister, Carjack. All right, praying for schools. All right.
May we bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Heavenly Father, as humble as we know how.
Yes, sir.
We bow down heads first and foremost, just say thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for being so good, so kind, so merciful, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for being the great God that you are.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for giving us the best gift that you can ever give us, and that's in your darling Son, Jesus
Christ.
Yes,
sir, Lord.
Who came and lived and died and rose on the third day so that we may have salvation.
Yes.
So we may have eternal life.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see this day and able to come out to prayer meeting, I'm sorry, to Bible study tonight.
Yes, sir, Lord.
To learn more about you and your word, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Rogers.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for allowing him to share your precious word, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to cover him and bless him, Heavenly Father, so that he can lead us according to your word.
Yes.
And Father, we pray you bless his family, Heavenly Father. Strengthen them. I pray you bless Pastor Emeritus Walker and his family. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless the total leadership of this congregation, Heavenly Father. Cover us all, Heavenly Father, so we all need you, Heavenly Father. Every individual that came in this door tonight, Heavenly Father, ask for a special prayer. We pray that you will bless those individuals. Bless the sick, the afflicted, the homeless, the hungry, the needy. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just bless them according to your will, Heavenly Father. For we all need you, Heavenly Father, and you know exactly what we need. So bless us, Lord. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to lead, guide, and strengthen us, Heavenly Father. Pray that you would bless those that are going through bereavement at this time, Heavenly Father. Give them the peace of mind, Heavenly Father, that they know that everything will be all right in due time, Heavenly Father, as long as they put their faith, their trust in you, Heavenly Father. Now, Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you just continue to lead, guide, and strengthen us, for we know we can't do nothing without you, Heavenly Father. We ask, Lord, that you will forgive us all our sins, our faults, and our shortcomings, and allow us to be better church members, Heavenly Father, to love one another, Heavenly Father, as you loved us, and to continue to grow, Heavenly Father. Now, Heavenly Father, as we get ready to leave this sanctuary tonight, we pray that you'll bless us all to make it back home safely, and forever and ever, we pray that you just bless us because we need you, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Lord, that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, that we just give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praises. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm good.